Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known. We're playing a little bit of catch-up. We are watching the third and fourth episodes of season two of Loki, so a major spoiler alert for those. And also we watched Pain Hustlers, which is a new original film on Netflix. Spoiler alert for that as well. And without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we are two-thirds of the way through Loki, and now we're all caught up and we've seen the same number of episodes. How are we feeling at this point? I'm going to start with Jackie.
Oh, I'm not different.
Okay. I'm not surprised, but...
Yeah, it's fine, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for. That's what I was thinking about in the fourth episode, was like, who am I supposed to be rooting for? Am I supposed to be rooting for Loki? Or am I supposed to, you know, like, it ruins the suspense when you're, like, not fully voting for anyone.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, there's no stakes because I don't really care who wins.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
You know?
Matt, do you have anyone you care about at this point?
They killed the only person I cared about. I don't care particularly, but I feel clarity about, like, you're supposed to root for Loki and Morbius and all that, and, like, we're supposed to be, like, anti-Kang. And what Ravonna's doing feels to me like it's, like,
I know, but Renslayer is the best character, and how am I not supposed to be rooting for her?
So,
well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've rooted for a villain. It's just,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
like,
you're not
she's
wrong.
Not who you're
not
supposed
wrong.
To be rooting for. She still wants anti-Kang, so she could still be used for good, but it's like, she's stepping into this, like, I mean, what she just did to the people at the TVA is, like, she's not a good person. So,
sure, yeah.
She's not the one you're supposed to be, like, going behind. You know what I mean? Like, it's, so it's like,
well,
I don't know. But well, no, I know, but I'm saying, yeah. I'm saying she's just doing a different version of bad, and Miss Minutes is obviously bad and manipulative. So it's like, that's obviously not, like, the hero of the story is what I'm getting at here.
I love
but,
that.
Okay, but I love Miss Minutes too.
No, but I mean, like, I mean, you're talking, I mean, but you're not supposed to root for her, you know?
But the irony also of the timing of the psychotic AI is the villain of the show that is in the middle of the argument over psychotic AI. Like, you got to give the writers accidental credit for that, the prescience of that one.
Yeah.
I hate, though, that the idea is, like, she was in love with Kang, Miss Minutes, and that's why she's upset. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, can we not reduce?
I had the same reaction. I was like, oh, so everyone's in love with him? Because even Renslayer was kind of, like, playing with it. And I was like, no, stop it. What?
Yeah.
And that's Ravonna's direct comic book origin, which was, I liked that it was like, oh, you're really, really paying homage to the comics, but also it makes it feel so lame. You know, like, yeah. it was in the 50s, you know? Like, move on. No, yeah. Let's move forward.
I know, look, I know time is, like, relative, but yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing that I had, like, mentally envisioned at the beginning of the season that we couldn't talk about then because you all hadn't seen up to this point, and I haven't seen the last two, but I was like, oh, you know, with Ravonna doing what she does at the end and, you know, we're losing the He Who Remains. I was like, oh, this is a world in which they could set her up as a replacement Big Bad, right? Because we are saying she's engaging in this, like, villainous stuff. It still gives us the multiversal, you know, quandary that we're in. But you get rid of Jonathan Majors as a byproduct, which, you know, I know there was some stuff while I was out about, you know, updates to his trial. But I'm just like, it's just... It's also just so complicated and, like, no longer an interesting character to me. Like, they're not doing the Kang the Conqueror I was expecting, and I'm just like, let's change things up. Give me Ravonna.
Yeah. I was thinking the same. I was like, oh, I wonder if they're trying to set this up to get rid of him. But I doubt they're going to do anything that interesting.
I do too, but I was like, oh, they built maybe, you know, I don't know when this went to production versus when everything came to light, but, like, I was like, oh, they may have built themselves an out, you know, like, there's, like, a world in which they could have pivoted.
Yeah, the only bummer would be that I don't know. They'd probably have to do something pretty drastic to her to get her to a point where she could be a big bad. Like, you know, like,
oh, absolutely. Just,
like,
yeah.
A totally mortal, no powers, no anything person who is, like, good at combat, you know, right. But, like, and then learns to master the timeline. So she could do things that are, like, detrimental to people, but, like, you're not going to, like, the Avengers aren't going to have a hard time taking her down if they find her, you know.
Right. So it's more of like a if they find her, you
catch
know,
me if I you think can. Yeah,
yeah. But which would could be fun. This, I would watch that.
Well, and with doing this whole Miss Minutes thing, like you could, I don't, they haven't really like gone fully into what the power, what power could be kind of unlocked by Miss Minutes' smarts and know-how with being an AI thing. Like they could take it to a place where maybe, I don't know, who knows.
Yeah,
but she, her being her partner, you know, in this.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they're going to commit to that because they've announced, you know, Kang Dynasty, all this stuff. But I was just like, there's the inkling of a backup plan somewhere in here. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
What I wondered was, because it seems clear that there's a variant of Kang coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got Kang in Ant-Man Quantumania. We've gotten the He Who Remains. We've gotten all this stuff. We saw that credit scene where they were just all Kang and they were all Jonathan Majors, except for ones that were not human.
Right.
But it kind of made me wonder if like they could write something in such a way. I mean, they've done that already with all of them being Jonathan Majors, but we maybe haven't seen like Kang, like Kang. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could be anybody else. Like, you know, like, so there could be a thing where there could be a world where Kang did this and all these variants of Kang were like manufactured to hide the identity of Kang. Like, there's gonna be some stupid thing they could write in if they want to get rid of Jonathan Majors.
It's Kang. Oh god, it's the Mandarin, basically. What they did with the Mandarin, where it was like in Kingsley, it was just like,
he was an actor.
This was a problem. Like, shit.
I didn't see that coming.
He has 10 bajillion clones. That was all a ruse.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they'll do that. But I was just like, watching it all in one go, I was like, there's a world in which, you know, it felt like they could have been getting rid of him. But with the knowledge that, you know, they've aggressively committed. I'm trying to look over my notes because it's been a few weeks since I watched it. And like, all it says is, this doesn't make sense. How can he reference? Like, so much of this doesn't make sense at this point with the like timelines and the... I liked what they did with the first episode where it was like the conversation with him in the future is being informed by the past. But now it's just, it completely lost me again. And this is what I don't like about the show.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I just don't really care. But I guess this episode, I think I marginally somehow enjoyed more than I've enjoyed any of them so far in this season. Being that like,
no,
I wasn't like, I don't like it, but I,
no.
The Ravonna thing makes it a little more interesting because she's at least a like person with emotion. Like the Kang thing's kind of getting boring for me anyway. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan Majors aside, it's just getting boring.
Well, and him. Figuring out that Miss Minutes was like a bad guy, and like, I mean, we kind of knew that, but like, I don't know, I did.
Yeah, I mean, and I was really sad they killed Kate Dickey. I thought her character, I mean, obviously I love her, but I just thought her character was very like interesting and fascinating, and it's sad because like she wouldn't have any other variants of herself, so she's gone. That was sad and dark. But I've been focusing a lot on, I've said it before, we talked about this, of course, and we've all agreed, I think, but like the show is just so beautiful. And it's just like, I'm looking at the cinematography, I'm looking at the art direction, and I'm just like, God, these people deserve a better show to be working on. Mm-hmm. And I was like looking at it, and I was like, cinematographer's named Isaac Bauman, and he shot an episode of Servant, which I'm obsessed with, and he's done some other horror stuff. Because I was curious this episode, because there are some very clear shots that to me felt very inspired by Kubrick. And I was and honestly the whole setting of the TVA
it does feel very Kubrickian.
I love that about it, and I'm just like, God, I'm always just watching all sad being like, why can't this be interesting in something that I want? Because the everything these people have built and the way they're doing it's just beautiful, and it has these kind of horror undertones, I guess, in that stale setting and what's going on. And this episode I thought got particularly dark with like when she Renslayer killed them all like that in that box and stuff. It was, you know, we didn't see it, but it was pretty disturbing. Like, thinking about what was 100%. Happening to them and hearing the screams, you know? And I was like, God, this is cool, but it's just not interesting.
No, it is not. And I, you know, all issues with Jonathan Majors as an actor aside, the character that they've written for He Who Remains with the like bumbling and I don't even know if this is He Who Remains at this point, but just like they keep. It's always soliloquizing. Like, they're always just delivering this monologue of, and I can't hear him half the time. You know, I'm like, what is, I don't think it's the sound mixer's fault, but it's just
I think he mumbles, honestly.
And who,
I mean, he was doing a speech impediment for this version.
Mm-hmm.
But even when he was speaking clearly, you couldn't really, I don't know, it was harder to understand.
And I think it's also just like, it's not interesting, right? Like, I don't feel the need to pay attention to it where I'd be like, let me listen hard to actually decipher what he's talking about, because it doesn't matter. We constantly are like finding out. It never ends up mattering.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And I generally think that Jonathan Majors is a good actor. And I think that he was one of the very few highlights in Quantumania. I thought, okay, he's good. But this character, who I thought was going to be Nathaniel Richards originally when we saw him last season at the very end, but it's not, I guess. This character, I was particularly just not buying it.
No.
Like, his performance at all. And I was like, this just does not feel even
real. He's not in the same show as everyone. Yeah.
Well, and so I got to tell you, I was a little bummed when it wasn't true, but I thought maybe we were going to get some big reveal, and I thought this was going to have been King or something. Like, I thought, like, he was pretending
a false sense.
And I thought there was going to be some twist thing at the end or something, because I was like, oh, he's acting so poorly that I felt that was literally Jonathan Majors, like, acting poorly on purpose because he's pretending to be somebody he's not. Like, I was like, that has to be it.
You gave it too many layers.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, I overcomplicated that. This was actually just not a great performance.
It's unintelligible.
I'm like, seeing how pretty I think the show is, and I'm trying. Yeah. Grasping at straws here, but yeah.
I can't. Was this in episode 3 or 4? Because we're catching up on both. I liked the, like, nerd out with Key and the other TVA guy. Oh, nerd, mm-hmm. Nerd mutual attraction. Oh, no, it was Key. It's Ki Hui Kwan and Ouroboros and He Who Remains. I forgot about that. All right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nerd bro love. I don't know. I just, you know, we've got 2 more episodes left. I don't know, and I don't care. I'll watch them.
Well, and to the stakes thing, I think the part of the problem too is that I get, like, Sylvie cares a lot about the timelines, and I understand that. And I her whole thing about, like, oh, it's not to you, you don't care, but whatever. But it's at the point where I'm like, so you're telling me that if all goes horribly, we could just wipe out potentially all the timelines? And when you say that, as stakes, I'm kind of like, I kind of welcome it. Like, I'm like, we don't need this anymore. We don't need any of these. And that's coming from, like, you know, we all love Marvel Universe and all this stuff, whatever. But I'm like, I'm so fatigued on stuff so lately and everything. And I'm like, maybe we need a whole, just like, let's just wipe it up and just be done. And I was like, some kind of.
Okay. The problem is we know they're not going to do that. So it's
exactly. But yeah.
Well, yeah. So at this point, this movie, like, we know the lineup that's coming out. We know what's going to happen. And so it's like, I know the timelines aren't going to get wiped out. So this is not very good stakes for me.
Not only that, like, if they were to wipe the timelines out at this point, I don't want to see the, like, flood of origin stories that we'd have to see again. You know, because I'm semi grateful that we've moved on from the, you know, origin story format, and we haven't gotten one in a while. But at the same time, I'm like, we're at the no win phase. Like it peaked at, like, Endgame, not Endgame, like Avengers. Honestly, I feel like was it.
Yeah. Well, the excitement. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people love Endgame. I don't hate it or anything. I just, it's not my favorite. But the excitement of building to Endgame was the prime part, and I all started kind of at the end of Avengers, really, the prime kind of, like, area for all of this. I mean, it was just like, you're just living for these movies and stuff, and some of them I like, some I don't like, but I just all building toward this end goal that was like, oh, I cannot wait. It's Endgame, if you will. But to what we're talking about with the timelines, like you're saying, like, wipe it all out and then reboot everything. It's like, oh god, which they would never do, but I'm just saying that would be an option, which would sound exhausting. But then the other only bad thing that could happen is, like, a timeline or two do get extinguished. But at this point, it's not going to be a timeline that, like, we're super familiar with. Mm. The only thing you could do would be to wipe out the timeline we've spent all this time in if you really wanted to be crazy and dramatic. And that still means reboots. So it's like, whatever way you slice or dice it, either nothing really detrimental will happen. Because they could wipe out something, some timeline, and make it all sad that it's being wiped out. But we won't have spent time there and really have emotional attachment to those people at all. So it'd be like, oh, disappointing for them. But I don't know.
Well, does anyone have any predictions and or care about the end of the season? Anyone want to make a guess? Because usually also the penultimate is, like, you know, the big thing that actually happens.
The only level of interest I have, I guess, is, like, we're talking Renslayer and, like, if they have any bigger plans for her. And I'm kind of like, is is this, like, please do not end this and say a Loki season 3 is coming. But, like, if it's going to end and be that, please, then I'm interested to try to understand, like, what it is they are trying to set up, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like love it or hate it, it was clear that, like, you watch Secret Invasion, they're setting things up directly to happen with Marvels and beyond, right? There's something they're working toward, right? That I felt clear, at least at the end of that. This, I'm like, we know Kang Dynasty's a thing. We know Fantastic Four has been talked about and greenlit, but then, you know, but we just don't know. And so it just feels very kind of like, I'm curious to see what they're planning, but at the same time, we also watched Moon Knight and...
Well,
what was that for?
We watched some of Moon. Some of us watched most of Moon.
Yes, but also too hot. Some of us watched all of Moon Knight, and I still to this day am kind of like, but what was it for?
It's a great, you know. And so, some of us don't have to ask that question because they were smarter than the rest of us. Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
I'm superior.
You made the right choice. The only other consideration I have is that, like, Marvel's comes out in. 2-3 weeks after it, but I can't imagine the world in which those two connect at all, short of the multiversal body jump whateverness that's happening,
right?
I can only imagine like a credit scene that is teasing what's coming with Kang after this or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh my god! If they put Kang in the Marvels, I will.
I'm gonna be so mad. I'm gonna be so mad. Okay, mad.
I cannot.
Do not touch the Marvels.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll reconvene after the penultimate, but clearly we're all so amped on this series.
And the last thing I'll say is I also did not appreciate this attempted Jurassic Park reference with Miss Minutes. The you tried it, and I like her fine, but come on.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Miss Minutes alone. Yeah.
You need to be stopped.
Yeah.
Know your place.
Uh-huh. Get in line. I don't know. That was terrible. I was trying to make a time joke.
Timeline. It's not.
Yeah. That's how bad it is. We can't even come.
Stay out of my timeline.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to Jackie in particular is also fresh off of Pain Hustlers. What did you two think of this one? This is a Netflix original film, which usually doesn't bode well. But I'm trying to figure out if I was just so jet lag and like out of it when I watched it, or if it was actually an acceptable film.
It could be both.
No, I don't think those are two truths.
I actually liked it well enough. I was paying a good amount of attention to it, which doesn't usually happen with Netflix movies.
Right.
I will say that I didn't like the faux documentary style.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they made Emily Blunt's character seem a little bit too good.
Mm-hmm.
She was always just like, but I have a child with a brain tumor. And you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like she was clearly involved in the movie somehow because they always gave her good reasoning behind everything that happened. Which, I mean, maybe that's really what happened, but it feels a little too rosy.
Agreed. Matt?
Yeah, I felt that, like as a person with a somewhat of a moral compass, they did try to kind of give us a protagonist in her more than I think we needed, because there's that age-old fear of, like, well, if you don't like anyone, you're not going to like the
story. Well, we just said that for Loki, ironically. Not that we don't like them.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's my thing. I always say, I know... It's not everybody's favorite film, but Closer is one of my favorite movies, and I think all four.
Oh, I love Closer.
Characters
love that.
They're trash.
Yeah, they're trash people. Yeah.
It's like, you know, and I'm like, but I am so captivated by the story in that film. So it's like, you can do it if you just really do it correctly. But yeah, so I was thinking that too. I was like, there's no way this woman has this moral, you know, kind of like, you don't find yourself in that moral dilemma. Like, I get the whole I need money and everything, but when she's like clearly just living large and just like aware that, like, you know. Whatever. But all that being said, I actually really enjoyed it also. I was very surprised it was a Netflix film, which speaks volumes. I was like, I'm not mad that I didn't get to see it in a theater, but I like could have seen it in a theater and liked it. Like, it was like, okay, this feels like a real movie. I will say I liked Emily in it a lot. I was having a tough time with Chris Evans' accent. I felt that it was just It felt like it was like it was sometimes there.
From like,
but sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't. And Emily's wasn't perfect either, but at least she's British, and so it's like she's doing double time here, trying to like. But he's. I was like, all you have to do is just give it something. And it was like in his true crime or in his like mockumentary, whatever, interview style, whatever. He would like sometimes have a heavier one. And then in scene, he wouldn't. And I was like, I'm really troubled by this. But
no, I didn't love it. Was one of my I don't first think he did notes. A great job.
Yeah. Because I was like, was he's just... from Boston.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like Emily's performance was almost too good for this movie, which is why we all enjoyed it. You know, because I was like,
she kept it captivating. All the work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Catherine O'Hara, of course, criminally underused, as always.
As always.
Know, criminally underused. I but got wonderful. So excited when she was in it. I was like, oh, my God. And the few cameos she had were good, but I would have appreciated it. I mean, she ended up being the hero at the end.
Yes.
She made all the scenes that she was in, you know, but but didn't have enough to do. I felt that the story, obviously it's a different story, but structurally and, like, what it's saying, I felt like it was a more palatable version of Wolf of Wall Street. And
that is what I said in my I think it wants to be like a Wolf of Wall Street, but I think this is the biggest issue I had with that is that it either wants to be a Wolf of Wall Street and it's like, ooh, wild and crazy parties and like look at how just ridiculous this industry is, which I understand, but it also was like, you know, at no point, I haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street in a while, but like at no point is Leo being like, oh, but cancer patients, like he's never ever trying versus the like morality element to this, which, you know, the other direction it's trying to pull itself in is this like tearjerker. Oh, her daughter has like, you know, a neurological issue that needs to be addressed. And oh, these, you know, she feels bad for these people and she's the single struggling mom. So because it just straddled both of those, it didn't go far enough in either direction. And that's where I think it fails the most. You know, it's just being like,
tame. Yeah. choose a lane, right? Yeah. Like it's. Yeah. You know, it just feels a little bit like she's not Mother Teresa, you know, in this situation. Now, if they had shown her even in a less positive light, I still would have loved her because, you know, it's hard to do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to make those choices and like whatever.
Well,
but
you
I
can
think
still
that,
empathize
like,
with someone making the wrong
decision. That's what I mean. It's like I would be mad at her because of the people she was hurting. But I would also just be like, okay, I get it because of these external pressures you have, unlike like Chris Evans' character, for example, or the billionaire character who were literally just making money to make money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no moral compass at all. It was just kind of like, here's an it's one of those.
But I just kept rolling my eyes when she was like telling that doctor she likes not to, you know, I have to ask you to do this, but don't do it.
Yeah. And he's just like, money, please.
You know, I'm like, okay, I don't believe that she did that. You know what I mean?
But yeah, but to her, like the bigger conversation we're having about the fleshing it out and stuff like that, and like with her, it's like Wolf of Wall Street was one of the more like grueling long experiences of my life, and I did not enjoy watching that in the theater at all.
Mm-hmm. I have never watched it.
I was like, oh, cut out an hour at least. This, I didn't need it to be longer, but to do what we're talking about successfully, I could have sat there for a little bit more time to flesh out the meat of the story when things really got going there, you know, to kind of like watch her descend into an actual like deplorable state and then try to climb back out of it. Like that could have been like
that could have been the story. And maybe that's what they were trying for, right? But they didn't succeed, right?
It didn't give itself enough time in the end to do that. It felt a little rushed and stuff. And then I also agreed, like the true crime interviews, like they were fine, but by the time we got to the end and we got to see the ruling with the judge, it's more of a trope, I guess, but I kind of was like, oh, I would have enjoyed this being more of a courtroom drama then. Like
agreed.
Having them be in the courtroom.
Well, and the I know that's typical. And like the because like the faux documentary style is kind of obnoxious because they're telling you what to think. When I think like a couple extra, you know, take those scenes out and replace them with actual scenes between the characters, and I think that we could have gotten there the same.
Yeah.
You know, actually better, right?
Yeah,
instead of an interview, like I want interrogation, it would have been more interesting that way.
You know? Yeah. It felt a little like Jackie, you said it perfectly, or the telling us how to think, where she's just like, you know, the subtext became the text. And like when she's always like, well, I did it because of this reason, I did it because of that. I was like, just show us, doing it, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like the beginning of the movie actually got me in that first scene where she's negotiating with the principal about her daughter's like suspension. I was like, oh, this could actually be like a decent movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it the more of those moments, more of the courtroom stuff. I didn't need the, like, you didn't need the partying stuff. Not that I had a problem with it, but I was like, this isn't so wild and crazy that I, you know, find it to
We all know what that culture is.
Yeah.
You know? But I think you can do it, but yeah, but use it to show how, like, much of a descent it became, right? Like, it clearly was like, oh, lifestyle of the rich and famous when she's like slow motion taking shots and there's like whatever at that party.
Yeah.
And it's like, but use it in the way Wolf of Wall Street does to kind of be like, okay, look how, like, how sleazy and gross this has gotten.
Yeah.
And then, but it couldn't go that deep. So then the party felt very PG rated. And it was like, okay, yeah, who cares about this? So yeah, I totally agree. But if you're going to put it in there, make it matter.
Right.
Yeah. Make it like part of the plot.
Yeah. And I agree with you about that principal scene. Cause I felt like at that moment was where I thought in my head, I was like, oh, this is a decent script. Cause what she was saying, yeah, I was like, this was clever. And I was like, oh, okay. You know?
And it was like, it sounded like something people would really say, you know, smarter than we are in real life, I guess, but still, you know.
Well, and it illustrated that she can talk her way out of or into things. And it's like,
yes,
she had the skill set that
she has the sales skill set that, you know.
Yeah. Right. Make them feel like it's their idea, that they're getting a win out of it. Yeah. I was like, oh, all right. And she did it well. Like Emily Blunt did it well. I was like, okay, I can believe that this guy. I could not believe the parts. I think she's a gorgeous woman, but when she's at the strip club, and I was just like, I don't believe that this character was a dancer. Like, nothing about the way this character has even been presented.
She was just such a hustler that, like, you think she would just be selling everything.
Right, and they even said that on her resume, you know? She's like,
yeah.
It felt like, again, I get that it's based on true things, right? So I don't know what is actual truth about her past, and I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt as if, and I don't want to say this in a bad way that makes it sound like I don't have lack of respect for people who do strip, but Emily Blunt as an actress just has something, or as a person, I think, but in her role, she just has this thing about her that I don't think she's able to shake, where, like, I do not believe Emily Blunt would do something like that.
You know, agree. You know, I mean,
she can't shake it. Like, she can't.
There's,
like,
a reason
she
was Mary Poppins.
What it is,
but, you know.
Yeah. She's
fantastic.
But I also think it's,
she just has a level of charisma that you're like, no, that person does not need to stoop that low. Like, you could see them being the best, not low, but I don't know.
Well, so like, I wouldn't even say it's stoop that low. It's that I don't think anybody in a strip club would see her and be like, that, you know, that character with the presence she has, you know, and be like, this person is like, there's
but I can
a,
see
like
her being
appeal.
Like
a strip
club
sex
her,
appeal, you know.
Well, of course, but I can see her being like a club promoter or like a, you know what I mean? Because she was just such a hustler. She was like always out there willing to do what she needed to do. And so I think, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And that would have been, I mean, again, who knows what the real truth is, but that would have been also more believable, at least in that, like, I was having some difficulty believing that, like, without some, honestly, as it sounds, without some promise of getting in her pants, that, like, Chris Evans was, like, even trying to offer her this job.
Yeah.
Like, in that scene alone. You know what I mean? Where, like, he has a deal go bad or he's not getting what he wants. And then she goes over there. She sees him as like, okay, I think he's probably someone I could target for something like that.
Yeah.
But that it worked. I liked the scene, but I was also kind of like, I just don't imagine. And to the point where he's like flubbing a resume for her and stuff to like just get her, like putting his name on the line like that. You know,
well,
like,
I just feel like Chris Evans didn't sell it very well.
No, but I do like that at the end, they sort of went back to that and explained it. And that PhD was like, what is it? Poor, hungry, and dumb?
Desperate?
Something like that? Well, he said for her, it's desperate.
Yeah.
But so the idea that, like, he knew going into it that she was not, you know, she was valuable enough to put on the line for it. You know, I was just like, oh, okay. That, you know, makes a little more sense as to why he was willing to recruit her, in that they've clearly, like, cycled through these folks before.
Yeah. True. Because they'll go out and do anything.
Yeah, there was a moment that made me laugh really hard just because my dad is a doctor, and not that he's ever participated in anything like this, but there used to be this basically pharmaceuticals conference called ICAC, and they used to give out – it was always like pens and, you know, it was swag, but it was something like pretty nice swag. And it was like, you know, my dad loves free things. I have inherited that. You've both seen it in action. And so they used to give it out in like bounds. Like, I remember they had Dippin' Dots before anybody had Dippin' Dots, and they were just like, free Dippin' Dots. And I was like, this is the greatest thing as a child. And then, you know, at some point they cracked down on that stuff because it some of it was like mild bribery and some of it apparently was like real bribery in certain cases. And so at one point, one of the guys at the desk says something. She tries to leave him with a bunch of pens and stuff. He's like, "You don't have a background in this, do you? Because you would have known they banned this years ago." And I was like, "Ah, ickack!" Like it's real. But I was like, "All right, this is a real thing that happened."
So funny.
Yeah. My uncle is an orthopedic surgeon, and he used to tell me about the different vacations that he would get from drug corporate. You know what I mean? Like, they would send him to Aspen and, like, all kinds of places just if he would look at their, like, you know, knees and shit. Because he's an orthopedic surgeon, so he does, you know.
Yeah. It's just so upsetting that my dad was not more morally corrupt and we did not take advantage of the things that were being offered in the gray area. Damn it, Dad. He just took the pens.
He still has his house and his savings.
So that's true, right? He's not in jail, so I guess there's that. Yeah.
So it is all good.
And we still have we have a lifetime supply of pens, so, you know, sure, we probably came out on top there.
Yeah. You'll never have to buy a new pen.
Never. Yeah. But, I thought it was, you know, especially compared to some of the other ones we've watched.
Oh, yeah. Very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, is it a great
one? I mean, our standards have been lowered quite a bit, to be honest. Yeah. But that being said, I'll watch anything in Emily Blunt's in, apparently.
Yeah. Although, has she
I recommended it to a couple people already. So, like, I liked it enough to think, like, oh, okay. And I think that they will like it. It was interesting, too. It's David Yates, right? So it was like, it's kind of cool to see him do something different. Like, get pleased.
Totally.
Yeah.
Harry Potter world.
Stop doing the Harry Potter. Yeah. I couldn't think of anyone necessarily to recommend it to, but I did, you know, that's why I like left us the choice. But I was like, this is probably, there's more to discuss here. Cause again, I did want a gut check. Did I lose my mind or is it actually an okay movie? But I wouldn't tell people not to watch it, I think is,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Whereas usually that is our go-to with like, nope, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
I wouldn't say don't, but
make your own choice.
Yeah.
Ironically, the problem now is that we still will have to be on our toes in case another one of these comes out where it's like, oh no, the Netflix originals can be okay.
And then they'll spoil us and then they'll give us.
And then they will. And then we'll be like, no.
Yeah.
Darn. But all right. Well, we've been watching a lot. We're watching what? What else have we been doing?
So I finally got to Orange County.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't start with one because that seemed
too much.
Painful.
Yeah.
But I started in four, so relatively early stuff.
Damn.
And I'm in six.
All right.
Since we last spoke, Dana, I've been wanting to watch House of Usher on repeat, so I decided to go back and watch like all of Mike Flanagan's Netflix stuff in a row. And I thought that was very interesting. It was very pleasant. Mm-hmm. I also watched The Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV Plus, which I did not love. It was fine. I mean, it wasn't bad.
It was a documentary?
Yeah, but like, it's this weird thing where I was going to look more into it because it's like, it's a true story, I guess, but like, it's a documentary, but they also do like scene recreations a little bit, but it's based on recordings from the actual like findings in the house with the poltergeist that actually exist. But what they were doing is they had actors there who I guess were like lip syncing to the dialogue.
Oh, no,
as far as I can tell, that's what was happening. And I didn't like that. But there were parts of it that were like, but there were parts of it that were way more documentary that I did like. It just did not need to be four episodes that I was like, this could have been just a film if you really needed to do it. But yeah,
I need everyone to stop doing that. Like, it just needs to stop. Yeah. We got to stop. We got to stop stretching it out.
And then, of course, I started The Gilded Age, which just,
yes,
that show gives me so much blood. I just love that show so much.
I haven't watched it yet, and I'm so excited. When you said it was back, I was like, really?
I've been counting down the days. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, and I was, I am. I'm very excited to watch it after we get off.
Yes.
And then I finally watched Selling OC, Dana.
Oh!
We're Selling the OC, which I meant to do, and I just kept forgetting, and then Halloween season came, and I've been watching all the scary things.
Sure.
Delightful.
Just in time for the second half of Selling Sunset or a new season of Selling Sunset, you know?
Whatever that is, yeah.
What a great bridge.
Just a complete pleasure.
Yeah. What did I watch? I've been watching Welcome to Wrexham, which I think I'm the only one of us who watches, but yeah, I'm a big fan. I watched Welcome to Wrexham. It's the Hulu docuseries about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney's like Welsh football team that they bought.
Oh.
It's actually good. And the thing I like the most about this current season is that they finally started focusing on the women's side too. Because nice. Apparently the women's side are like, I mean, the guys' side are fine, but the women's side are like better than the guys. And of course, like underrepresented and all this stuff. So I was like, all right, you know, this is additionally hopefully benefiting from the visibility that they bring to it. I watched Our Flag Means Death. The season just ended and I'm sad because it was so good. What else did I watch?
No.
Mostly it. Beverly Hills came back.
Oh, did you watch? Oh, God, Beverly Hills. Oh, thank God. Love you. Yeah. I was going to say, I watched the Beckham documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
I watched that. We talked about that
really briefly. But yeah, it was like so bloated.
Yeah.
It was very bloated. They're all so bloated lately. But
I know.
But I did think the little tidbits about him and Victoria were really cute. And I was like,
Yeah,
I thought it was cute. It's a background watch for me. I got through it all too, but it was just like kind of like I wasn't sitting there watching, but I was like,
no, because not enough happened, right? Like it was just like you get little tidbits where it's like, ooh, and then I'd start watching for a little while, and then I'd be on my phone, and then you know whatever. But
right.
But I was telling Dana when we recorded last, I was like, I just have this just fascination with Victoria Beckham. I think she's hysterical. And I
did you because everyone loved her on the documentary because she's amazing and great. She got her own deal. So they're actually going to be doing a documentary on Victoria, but it's going to be post Spice Girls. So it's like how she built her fashion empire after the Spice Girls.
I like that.
Which is like
Spice Girls stuff.
I mean, I want all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Start at childbirth.
Right. Like I would like to know about this middle class upbringing that she had with the Rolls Royce.
Exactly. I want to know how she reffed it so much.
I know. Middle class.
When he comes in and he's like, stop lying. She's like, well, what car did you go to school in?
She's like
Rolls Royce.
There's no other way to say it.
But,
but
it was an older one.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it worth more.
Apparently, like, her cleverness and how cute she was in the show, people are like, she is interesting.
She's, I mean, she's, when you watch her and, like, press stuff and all this stuff, I mean, I've always known she's just funny, but she's weird, and I love that.
I've always loved her, even back in Spice Girl days. She was always my favorite.
She was the like least, but
she did nothing. But I just love the glamour of it. Like I was so into
now
that,
in retrospect, I respect that she was effectively playing a character. But at the time, I wasn't aware, and so I was just like, one, I'm not a fashion person, and so I was just like, is that all you are? Are you just a little black dress? Which in looking back at the Spice World movie, it's like one of the funniest jokes in it.
Yeah,
and now I'm like, you knew exactly, like you were playing your part perfectly. Like, well done. Yeah. You know, I just didn't realize how much of a part this was.
With minimal energy.
You know what? Getting it done efficiently.
Yeah. Can't be bothered.
Yeah. I realized I watched Big Mouth, which I know I'm the only one of us who watches. but also...
another thing, too.
I watched Life on Our Planet, which, Matt, I don't know if you watched. I
haven't done that yet. It's Morgan Freeman, right?
It's Morgan Freeman, which...
Yeah, and I'm interested. It looked kind of prehistoric planet, but meets more like... goes into modern day also, right?
It does and it doesn't. Like the thing I don't like as much about it, I mean, I liked it. It's the same as all the other ones, you know, is that it jumps around a little bit more than, because I like the way like Prehistoric Planet or some of the other ones are, they'll be like, here's this biome or here's this specific era. This one could have done a better job of, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because you're still just watching weird, you know, creatures. I'm like, cool.
Do their things.
Do just, their things. When we were in Korea, like I was watching it I got the screeners of it and I put it on and then passed out because of the time zone. And I was like, I don't know if I slept. And my sister was like, no, you definitely slept because you missed all the giant scary spiders on the screen. And I was like, God,
I know. Yeah.
No, I did not see any of that. She's like, you slept through that.
She's like, I have been awake all night.
Yeah, I've been watching, but I haven't slept since. But
and I'll never sleep again. But thank you.
Yeah. So, yep, that's it. I feel like I watched some other stuff, but nothing.
Well, I was gonna say, I forgot. Like, I think you've watched, but I watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh yeah, I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah,
it was a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah,
it's a lot.
It was my favorite of the Scorsese movies I've seen lately. You know,
I mean, that doesn't say a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's good. It's just, in a different way than I suppose Pain Hustlers, but it's just like a hard one to recommend. But like, hey, do you want to be like miserable? For not miserable, but you know, do you want to be like, if you have any modicum of guilt about the taking of the indigenous people's lands here, like you want to watch this for a good 3 hours and change, like have a great time. Yeah.
No.
It's really, really sad. And just, you know,
Like, I remember at two hours in, I looked at my watch and I was like, oh my God, there's 90 minutes, which is effectively a full other movie in here.
Yeah, coming.
Like, help me.
But in its defense versus Wolf of Wall Street, at least it felt like one movie, just really long. But Wolf of Wall Street to me is like two different things. And I'm like, you do not do this to me. And even though it's shorter than this, but it just feels longer.
Well, it did feel like a second movie came in when like the investigation stuff happens and like the, you know, the lawman stuff, which I actually really liked that movie more. Yeah. I was like, oh, give me that. Like, give me the Wild West, you know. So, you know, whatever. It's a good movie. It's brilliantly shot, you know.
Yeah, it was beautiful and really well acted across the board, I thought.
But yeah, I think it could have shaved 90 minutes off of it and been 100% better for it. Lily Gladstone is spectacular, which, you know,
I'm
worried.
I'm really hoping she gets a nom. Yeah,
she'll get a nom. If she doesn't get a nom this year.
I mean, yeah, who else, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, she was great. And it was, it was hard. It was a hard watch in a lot of ways, too, though, because it's just disturbing in the content, I guess. It was just like.
Yeah. It's a tough topic. Like,
And it didn't shy away from being a little graphic, which I saw were some criticisms of it, you know, kind of being like, you know, we don't need to be seeing what was the actress? She's a Native American actress, and she was talking. I have to look her up, but she was saying that it was kind of like, it's kind of like when people talk about movies that are like about slavery. It's like, yeah, we need to make sure that people understand and keep believing that this happened and stuff. But at the same time, it's like they're like, we don't want to keep seeing our people
torture porn, basically,
and tortured and like, you know what I mean, like kind of like in this graphic way, and you can tell the story without showing all the graphic nature in some ways. And I thought it was an interesting criticism on this. And I was like, yeah, see, I hadn't thought of that because I was like, I was just like so affected by it. Mm. And then, but in a way where I was just like, God, it made me feel even sicker about it than I already felt. And then, but then hearing that, I'm like, oh yeah, I could totally respect that because, you know, you've already gone through so much as a people and now you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was good, but really long and not something I'll watch again, I don't think.
No, I don't think I can. All right. Well, thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.